565 is over and above what was budgeted for. I just need to understand the encumbrances, if they were already pre-planned, or if there was a wish list that that was being spent towards. Because there is significant, the year before, 2020 to 2023, there was over $1 million over the budget. And 586 was spent. So that would be super if you guys could tell us, account for those encumbrances. Were those just from a, I call it a wish list, you guys probably have a better word for it, but was that over and above?
To-do list, things to do.
Yeah, things that we'd like to get done, but weren't necessarily in the budget.
That were taken out of the budget.
That would be helpful.
I think we've got that information.
Yeah, because that's why.
I think we have that.
We got the encumbrances.
No, remember the five things we asked for? Excuse me. Susan Young, I think we might have that information. Remember the five things we asked for? The five columns of things? It should have addressed this.
Okay, I didn't see it.
If it's not.
But again, it's in.
If it's not, we can get it for you.
It's in, I think it's in there.
Yeah.
But it's just a spreadsheet for you, right?
Yeah.
Mark Schulberg, so Brenda, some of that stuff is, we're still taking asbestos out of the school. And then some of it is for windows that needed to be replaced because there were safety hazards. So there's things that we, projects that we have, that we've noted as safety hazards to the children in the school. And that, out of the fund balance, some of the years, we take some of that money, we get some of those done.
So, Brenda Coughlin, I don't begrudge the decisions of keeping the kids safe. I mean, I don't think anybody in their right mind would ever do that. But if that was an asbestos issue, why wouldn't that be in the budget, in the warrant article? Total, you know it's going to be done, so why wouldn't you put it in there? And not gamble of, ooh, we got that much money left over, we can do some more. That would just be a question.
Because the budget committee cuts our budget, and we can't put it in. So we're like, all right, if we have anything left at the end of the year, we'll get that done. Like, now we're operating off of a default.
Correct.
But we didn't do that.
The town voted that.
The town voted to do that, we didn't.
We recommended.
It was recommended by the budget committee.
Yep.
But the town doesn't always give the town any recommends.
They always go in and see the recommendation.
You did not support. The budget committee did not.
Yeah, that came from the voters.
Recommend the proposed budget.
Okay, so I'm going to walk this back for a second.
Eight to one.
So what is your question? What are we asking them to provide?
We're going to provide a breakout for each of the 5 years of what the board asked for projects to be done that weren't in the budget.
Yes.
That's the easiest way to look at the numbers, and I think that's what you're trying to.
Thank you, yeah, of the encumbrance.
Yep. Perfect, okay, we'll capture that.
Five.
All right, moving on. Okay, what was the basis for the 9% increase for the principal and assistant? The school board values Principal Wing for all the work she does for our students, staff, and parents. The board made it a priority to make Ms. Wing's salary competitive. This is true, the same is true with Assistant Principal Fincini.
Brenda Coughlin, so is that a 9% increase combined between the two employees?
Yes.
And is that over and above any cost of living that?
That was their increase. The percent that we put in the budget for this current year was their budget.
But it's combined, it's not 9% for each?
No. It's not.
But they get a COLA side?
No.
Oh, this is it?
No, that's it.
Okay, so 4.5 for each?
Well, no.
Well, that would be 9%.
I don't know what the breakout is.
Oh, okay.
The total's 9.
Okay.
But it's not 9 and 9.
Okay.
It's a breakout with more going to Mrs. Wing than to Mrs. Fincini.
You don't do COLAs, do you? You just do salary adjustments?
We just do adjustments, that's correct.
Thank you.
All right, questions?
Yeah, Josh Reeves, I just had a follow-up question. What, I think it's probably more for the school board based on the answer here, but what is considered, what sort of analysis goes into determining what is a competitive salary?
I do an analysis for the board of all the neighboring districts, but also similar districts to our size. And I provide that to the board, and then make the determination as to what they feel would be an appropriate salary.
Okay, thank you.
Question six, why is the extra sixth grade teacher needed? Currently, we have just one section of sixth grade with 22 students. The upcoming sixth grade has 31 students. To keep the upcoming sixth grade as one section is not in line with CSB policy IJB, 1JB, class size.
IJB. You know, Gebsha likes to use letters.
In addition, with the increasing enrollment in the younger grades, the increasing complexity of student support needs in the classroom, and the importance of continuing with content area specialists in the middle school grades, an additional teacher is needed.
Susan, what is the New Hampshire recommendation for minimum or maximum class size?
New Hampshire's recommendation?
Yeah, the state has a recommendation.
Well, this is a school board policy. I don't know if the state has a...
They used to.
A number. I could find out.
They used to do it at grade level, I think, actually.
I can find out for you.
That would be great.
That's easy enough.
I could probably Google
do
it.
Do you want
to be able to do it faster than I can get it to you.
I was just going to say, probably look right here.
I actually have that for you. So according to, at 306.17, it's a maximum of 30 students for upper grade levels.
Sorry, 30
students
for upper
classroom.
Yes.
Okay.
And again, excuse me, I had this conversation with the Hooks Budget Committee because we have a issue similar to this at the Memorial School. And even though our numbers are slightly below what the board has for its enrollment cap, that doesn't mean it's what's best for kids. So what we're trying to do is create two sections so that the class size are a little bit smaller. I haven't taught for 13 years. Teaching 30 students is a lot, and what we're trying to do is to avoid that. Becky, you want to speak to like the scheduling part of it?
Yeah, so currently we have four teachers who teach 7th and 8th grade. Subject area specialists. We have an ELA teacher, a math teacher, a science teacher, and a social studies teacher. What's happening here is we have a group of 6th graders that currently are on like a 3-person team with a couple of 5th grade teachers. They travel as one group currently. In order to keep our subject area specialists in 7th and 8th grade, we need to split that class of 22 kids into two groups so that we can maintain subject area specialists in 7th and 8th grade. So that's really where this is coming from.
Can you explain subject specialists?
Yeah, so these are people who are certified to teach middle school, either English, language arts, math, science, or social studies. They're not, our elementary teachers, K through 6, are certified to teach elementary education, so they can teach all content areas. When you get into middle school, which really for us is 7-8, that's when you get into subject area specialties.
Brenda Coughlin, so you have 22 students. You want to create a class of 11 students.
So when they move into sixth grade, that will be when they move into seventh grade next year, that will be creating that. What I'm looking for is to not take my current fifth graders going into sixth grade and have a huge class of 31.
I have 31.
Yeah.
So you're hoping to split that?
Yes.
Yeah, into 15, 16.
And what is the board number? If the state says 30 is the max, what is the board?
They are 15 to 19 for grades K through, hold on, I'll tell you. I think it's 4. And then I believe it's 16 to 25 for the other grade levels. I'm looking right now, so I can have that grade. What policy did I say? IJB.
IJB is 25.
Yeah, 15 to 19, K to 2, 19 to 25, 3 through 8. So capped at 25.
Thank you.
All right, we good with that one? All right, moving on. Question 7. Why did the substitute teacher salary line double? The budget is more in line with 3 years of actuals.
What we did was we looked at what we were actually expending. And we felt that that was a more transparent number. Take the three-year average and use that as opposed to a lower number that doesn't necessarily reflect what we're actually expending substitute teachers.
Okay. Question 8, are there multiple places we can get sped transportation? Do we shop around? The district is in the third year of a 3-year contract with Durham for locked-in rates. They provide the majority of our transportation. Our contract allows us to use other vendors. Currently, First Student is providing transportation for 2 routes that Durham did not have drivers for. The district has also used Precious Cargo and Safe Passage. We have quotes from multiple transportation companies, and they are all similar or more expensive than our rate with Durham. Okay. Question 9, what is the breakdown of the software used in line 5650? Back up a 5. It's $2,500, 40 net firewall subscription for $800, Google security domain upgrade, $1,500, incidents, $800, CAMI, $987. I'm going to assume you guys don't need me to read the rest of these. If anyone has any questions, let me know. I will make sure they are all captured in the minutes. Any questions on that?
I have a question. Ryan Young. So I saw that one of the contributing factors is that grant.
Yes, sir.
That grant's going away.
That's correct.
Do you know how many years, did that come from COVID?
Yes, those were COVID dollars. And districts had to expend or have a plan to expend their funds by September 30th of this past year.
Gotcha. And so, in our original packet, we've got the actual from the last couple of years. So I'm guessing if we have one more line back, so the actual from 20 to 21, since that would be budgeted pre-COVID, there'd probably be a big jump there where the school was already funding its own.
Funding of many of these things, that's correct.
Gotcha.
Not all of them, but some of them.
And then from prior to COVID to now, is there also just a massive jump in the amount of software out there and the cost of it? Or was the grant just that big?
The ESSER grant was a pretty good chunk of the dollars that, although Candia's amount was small compared to like Auburn's and then compared to Hooksett's, but it was big enough to help us pay for a lot of these things that you see here. So it was a pretty good, that's all really what we did with our COVID dollars was that, if I recall. Becky, did we do anything else?
Yeah, no, I was just looking to see how many of these things we would have had prior to COVID, and I really just saw all but maybe 4 of them, and they're not the bigger ticket items other than Schoology that came with COVID. But I think a lot of these, the prices have just increased over time as well. So, but yeah, ESSER dollars were paid for many of these.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right, question 10. When we started using Chromebooks, what happened to all the old computers? What do we do with used Chromebooks? So when Chromebooks are purchased, they are assigned to students in the lower grades. These devices are student assigned and travel up with the student as they progress through their career at the Moore School. When the student graduates 8th grade, the devices continue to be used as a spare for as long as possible, until it breaks or no longer receives updates. Yep, Susan Young.
Susan Young, and if you have a student who misplaces their computer or breaks it through their own fault or clumsiness or whatever, do they reimburse the school for that?
Yes.
They do. Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, I'm just gonna, there's actually a continuing So just to finish reading this out loud for the minutes, when a device does break, it is completely broken down to its base components so that the parts can be used to repair other Chromebooks throughout the fleet. We are able to keep maintenance costs to a minimum by utilizing all of the parts this way. Do you have something you want to add? On question 11, what is food services transfer? Over the past 3 years, Candia continues to trend toward the food service revenue equaling the food service expense. In the 2023-2024, the general expenses for food service were less than $6,000 in total. The budget of $8,000, as seen in the general expenditure budget, is a conservative number based on the past 3 years. Okay, any questions on that? And finally, we would like a spreadsheet showing the following information for the last 5 years, enrollments, approved budget, and what was spent. And I believe that was sent out in a separate email. We don't have it?
Which document?
The one that has five. It should have like...
Looks like this.
An Excel. It should have five columns.
Right.
It has five tabs.
Yes.
That's the doc?
Yeah. Like, this is the printed out.
Yes. Did I do it to everybody or just to Lynn?
No, I couldn't copy.
Stuff is this.
No, that's enrollment, isn't it?
That's...
Just, yeah, in the last few days, it's the one I have, I think.
Would Lynn have sent this to us?
We sent it to Stephanie.
Yep.
I think so.
I think I sent it to her.
I think you did.
Probably did. There's a few things that came out. I'm looking now.
He usually sends it to all of us.
Yeah.
Just not Lynn.
Do you remember what date that came in?
I haven't attached the enrollment, so that one...
We sent it to Steph, and then Steph pushed it out.
Yeah, she's been given...
Steph, do you remember what date you sent that out?
Budget management.
Three days ago.
No, I don't have any attachments. I don't want to send it out.
Yeah, hello. What day was this?
No, I saw it.
It was November 20th.
Here, last two, is it here?
Great data attached, is that it?
That's it. I went surfing on the interweb and found, like, you know, you all want to know how much percentage we pay for each person's salary at the SAU and stuff like that.
10%, we provided that too.
Yeah.
Susan Young, I think maybe the request might not have been clear. I think the question or the suggestion was to have an Excel sheet for the last 5 years with the enrollment, and then the asking budget, the approved budget, and what was actually spent without the encumbrances. I think that's what, to make it really simple, like a one snapshot deal. And I don't know if it came across that way. I think you did send the information, though.
I sent the information, yeah, and then I made a spreadsheet for the enrollments, because I just had the...
Yeah, you did the enrollments we all have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's...
So on the 5 year, we have the what was budgeted and what was expended.
Right.
We don't have what was presented in the beginning. Would we even have that?
No.
No, because it changes. Yeah. I mean, we could all look back in our email, I suppose.
You have the budget and what was spent?
Where else?
So for 5 years, we have the what was budgeted,
yeah,
and what was expended.
With or without the encumbrances, I can't remember. I don't have it right yet.
That's just straight what was budgeted versus what was expended.
Okay.
In that document.
And the expenditures include the encumbrances, I assume.
It
doesn't have. So in the final, in these year reports that you have, it does not have the amounts that are reserved for encumbrances. By the end of the year, when we're trying to clean up POs and all that other kind of stuff.
But would the, what gets spent as an encumbrance, would that still show up as an expenditure in this report?
Sure.
Yes. Okay. Basically, so the expenditures just don't break out what was spent before and after the end of the school year.
It's just a total.
Treats it all as a total.
So, Sue, did you get your answer? Are you looking at
there's several different things,
yeah,
and I pasted them all together. The information's probably there, because I remember you sending out stuff, and you were very good. And the data was wonderful, whoever did it.
Just to add the enrollment.
We just interpreted it to present it that way.
So on the Excel file, you want it in one tab. You want one tab that has all the years. And then for each year, you want them, the enrollments associated with it?
You could do it that way or do it. Yeah.
Is that helpful to you?
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to get it on one piece of paper.
Did you get to look at any of
the tabs? But that's 1 year. Oh, the other tabs, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said to her, even if you tape them together or something, I like to look at the big picture.
I can do it all on one sheet. Yeah, no problem.
You can? Oh, that would be great. Not too tiny, because I'm old.
I was just going to say,
I'm in the same boat. There we go. If you can read it, we can read it.
Just many other glasses around.
Yeah, it's a lot of help. You can bring a tablet.
There we go.
So 5 years.
Sure. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have the blog.
We have the enrollment, too.
Yes, she does, yeah.
We got her thing.
All right, are there any other questions for the school board? memory serves me correctly, and I'm going to look at my other budget committee members to keep me honest here, I believe that closes the portion of the meeting that involves the school board.
Yes.
So now we will just revert to having a budget committee meeting. I believe you all invited to stay at the public, but you're not required.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't have another meeting.
No, we have to. And again, if there's anything else, just let Steph know.
Yeah, you guys have been great. You really have. Your response is very quick. And
so our next school info is the letter.
6.2 without revenue, because our revenue is...
Well, like right now, we're on a default right now.
Yes.
And for 8 months, we have $280,000 left. Now, I know that we just had to repair some boilers, so it's less than that. So that's why I get a little nervous, like, oh, I thought we'd be okay. I thought we'd be okay on default, but maybe not.
Steph, Brenda Coughlin, my big wig with this is when you shared the fund balance reserve for encumbrances, what the overage was for the past 5 years. I mean, the smallest amount was you guys over budgeted by $474,000.
I'd be curious to know if it was from special ed. I don't really know.
Was that the COVID year though?
It was the tail end of the COVID year.
2021.
Well, COVID hit in March of 2020.
Yeah.
Well, so. but that doesn't excuse the 2022 to 2023 when it was $1 million over.
Yeah. He showed me that. I don't see where it's $1 million over.
Well, your reserve encumbrances were 586,701 that year.
Exactly.
You lost it 98.
That was the big year.
I remember you gave a big chunk.
And I probably wouldn't have argued until I see where we're at this year, and I was like, oh my gosh, like what? Never. It's my eighth year, we've never done that level one fund.
Okay, I'm going to pull this back. Do we have a motion for a vote?
I'd like to make a motion myself to wait until, first of all, we have a couple of things that hopefully we can get on one sheet so everybody can look at it. And I don't feel comfortable voting without Lynn.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I think in the information on the encumbrances we're asking for, it would be very helpful.
Yeah, what was in the budget and what was...
And thank you. You were wonderful every day. I'm thinking, is she even working at her job?
No.
You kept breaking that stuff out.
Sorry. I started going on the state of New Hampshire website and was like, look at this sheet.
Yeah, you could have done it for us. So that's my motion.
So that would mean...
December 3rd, we could vote.
Would we have a vote then after the public hearing on December 3rd?
Or can we get the information back from the SEU?
Or after the school?
Don't get it.
I think they would too.
We have a meeting when?
December 3rd.
December 3rd. So that's next week, right?
And the 11th.
No, okay.
Because Thanksgiving's late this year.
I will not.
And she's going to send us an updated sheet by next week anyway with the Pickerton numbers.
Oh, how'd that turn out? Do you know?
That's $11,000 more on the high school line.
Okay. So the public hearing on the 3rd is a public hearing for the town budget.
Yeah.
We haven't reviewed the warrant articles.
I know.
They have a contract, don't they? Somebody's contract?
Yeah.
Is that the only warrant article?
That and our budget.
Well, yeah, the budget. Nothing else extra.
Okay, Brenda Coughlin's stupid question. Clarifying question, let's just say that. If we wanted to recommend cuts to the school budget, the lowest we can go is the default budget, correct?
Yep.
We can't go any deeper than that.
Yes, you can.
You can,
but then
you're really...
I know, but Steph, there's things that...
So then we have to prepare for that, so then we'd have to let go of staff.
Or cuts some ed, you know, it's not necessarily people.
So you can't cut special ed, you can't cut transportation, you can't cut their contract increases.
There might be something to do with the extra sixth grade teacher. There could be some.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have to make that decision for them. They can make the decision.
No, that's right.
No, but then the thing is that, so when we have to look at our numbers, we have to adjust the budget, and there's no requests are extras. So like what's in the default is contracts, salaries, health insurance, busing.
Yeah, so, I think if you're going to make a request below the default, I think the onus is on us to direct where we would make that cut.
But they don't have to stay with it. Just like we can do the same thing with the board of
directors. If we're telling them they have to cut below the default, I think as a budget committee, we would have to tell them where to do that from. I think there's some wiggle room if you're talking just between the proposed and the default. They can work out where they're going to cut it. But if you're cutting below the default,
I'm not sure I agree with that, Susan Young. I think, for example, they are budgeting for everybody to have insurance.
They're only the teachers who has it now.
Oh, really? They didn't. And what about the stipend? They have that in there.
Stipend for what?
If you're on your husband's insurance.
Yes, so what we have right now, whoever is, all the teachers right now, what they've chosen, that's what they put into next year's school budget.
Which might not happen.
Elections are in May.
I mean, it's just like the courses and like that, a lot of times they're not used at all.
But they're in your contract.
They are in the contract, so I know you have to budget, but there's, in my opinion, there's some places you could... It just seems, and this is my personal opinion, Susan Young, the enrollment keeps going down and down and down and down.
But it's not.
It is. And I mean, I respectfully disagree with that. And the high school has gone, what was it, six or four now?
But they've increased 5% every year for since we've been on contract.
Their cost. Yeah, well, we won't go into that.
Right now, we however many kids we have, minus the seniors, add the eighth graders. That's what they
budgeted
for.
We have a projection. I have it somewhere in my notes. But our total enrollment, and especially with the high school, it keeps going down. And every year, I know it's claimed we have a big kindergarten class. It's going to, and it just doesn't. It doesn't translate. Now, maybe people are using private education. I don't know. It's just going down, which I'm sorry for, because this school can hold a lot more than what we have in here, but
so
I think the tax
gone up. The lowest was 2 years ago,
it's
265.
It's averaged pretty consistently. It's not like we're talking a 10% dis.
No, I didn't say that, yeah.
No, we've held around like 270. In this building, we've held around 270, 275. High school, though, it's a different line item, so yay if high school enrollment goes down, because I don't have to pay as much.
I see a high school enrollment in 2023 of 149 and 2024, 127.
So then the line... You'd have to take what the increase is from Pinkerton, the amount of students, and figure out what the difference is.
But like I said, enrollment's down.
High school.
But that's our total enrollment. You know,
high school, you only pay per student. So it's not like in here we have to have
fixed costs.
There are fixed costs. You have to have your tech director, your gym teacher, your.
So K through 8 for 2023 is 277 mm-hmm. for 2024, 275. That's K through 8. To me, that's down.
I think we've gotten two more students since that.
So we're flat.
But those,
yes.
Yeah.
But the numbers are the numbers that we were given.
So I think that's what happened with the taxpayers. When the gentleman raised it back up at the deliberative session, and then the taxpayers said no. We're not going to do it. I mean, they're not stupid, and they see it not going the way it should be going. They see a lot of money. Plus, we have the $2.2 million to fix the school, which I guess didn't include everything. So people can't afford it. They can't do this anymore.
See, but the thing is that, like, so the town voted for the $200,000 a year, and that goes on as default. We can't not pay it.
No, you can't.
Except you have the option of paying towards the principal down, and you guys
did it. We paid a double a couple years ago.
Yeah, that wasn't last year.
Extra money you get because of over budgeting, it would be sweet if you could have drop some of the principal or the interest that we're paying on that principal.
So, like last year, knowing we were in default, we pre-bought a lot of what we could.
But aren't they this year pre-buying a lot? Their encumbrances are...
So the encumbrances for June of last year's budget, we encumbered to buy for the things that we had this year that we had.
You knew you weren't going to get in the budget.
POs on or invoices on. So because we were in default, we needed to buy science and math books and reading. We tried to pre-buy stuff that we wouldn't be able to afford.
Right, but if you look at those lines, there's still, you have enough money in them. They're not overspent for books. And I know they use a lot of disposables.
No, that was from last year. So when we went to default, we had to readjust our budget and figure out where we were cutting it off from, and then we said, all right, what can we pre-buy to help us fit into the
I know how it works.
Yeah, so.
And again, I think some people think more money means a better education because they're not that familiar with how this whole thing works. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been on the other end and gotten a a letter from the principal saying, spend or else we're not going to get it next year. So I know how some of this works. And I just think the townspeople, and I guess because I'm trying to represent all of them, the old, the young, everybody, they just can't do this anymore. And it's not that they don't like kids.
No.
Not that I don't like kids.
When you look at regular education default budget, that's our teachers, that's salary, that's increase, it's
contracted. Now you're adding another one.
Then that's a request. So that's not in default. So default, special education. You really can't cut that line. Default. What is this? For athletics, I have to look at that, but I'm assuming the 92,000 is contracted. You've got guidance in your nurse, and those are both
positions
with salary and retirement and NH, all the stuff that comes with it. Then you've got speech OT, that's special ed, cut that. Professional services media, I have to take a look at that and see what's in there for default. That's a lot of his salary increase. The SAU 15, we have no choice.
What is that, SAU 15?
That's what we pay.
That's what we're discussing. That's what we're paying the SAU.
Yes.
It's very low.
600,000.
No. 205,000.
Wait, where? Oh, the default budget.
Oh.
I'm looking at actual.
For next year.
Am I looking at the wrong one?
No, you're looking for next year. That's accurate.
Mm-hmm. And then school admin, that's salaries, benefits, things you can't cut. Plant operations. There are no requests in the default, so that's what it costs us to operate the building. Yeah. And transportation, that's a contract. Support services. I have to look at that, but I'm pretty sure that's contracted. And then we have the loan.
Brenda Coughlin.
Steph, as you know, because we just went through the town, everybody, every department head's coming saying, but I need this much more because I need, pavement costs that much more, petroleum's going up.
Yeah.
I mean, the police, oh, but I want to staff it with 7 employees, but I only have 3 right now. But let me finish. It's the wants, but now we've got an inflamed community that just had, many of us have had an inflated assessment on the homes. And I get it. It's gonna. People don't understand that.
Yeah,
though.
The tax rate.
Now they're looking at.
I have that for you if you want.
But they're looking at a town budget that wants to go up by X percentage, a school budget that wants to go up by X percentage, over $1 million in warrant articles. We can't go to the town. And sometimes the answer's no. You can't have an 8% increase.
So what I'm saying is default. All the contracted stuff. There's no request.
I'd like
there.
To. Can someone go through that and tell us what absolutely needs to be in that default?
Yeah, there's only 3 that I wasn't aware of, but the rest.
I mean, I'm even thinking about fuel. How I'm predicting it'll go down. Maybe it won't, but
you have to go off of what. Yeah. I mean, it just went up a ton.
Your
between
my fuel did.
24 to 23 to 24, there was a big increase.
All about when you buy it.
Yes, that's true. And supply and demand, where it's coming from, and if we have pipelines or not. So,
all right, I'm going to bring this back. So, is there a question to Stephanie?
I will have a motion
to provide a breakdown of what is in the default budget and what the assumptions are there.
Yeah. No, okay.
I don't want to vote.
No,
it was a time constraint.
No, we can do it.
Hold on.
So, what is represented in the default budget?
Correct. What assumptions
are teachers' salary steps?
Yeah, what's driving that? Like the mandatories.
Well, you know, the teachers got a raise. The support staff got a raise because there was a mass exodus because teachers weren't making enough money here. So we needed.
But you made that adjustment last year, and we budgeted. You forecasted that.
Yes.
We knew that was coming. We didn't know the 9% with the principal and the assistant principal.
It's not much money, but.
Yeah,
when you look at the
amount, all of those not muches.
I know.
That's
the question to Steph. She's going to get us a breakdown of
what's
in the default by line.
You're going to jump in.
Ryan, did you have a question?
I had, well, one question would be, and I can't remember if I asked this last time, so I apologize if I did, but the health insurance increase, it's gone up like over 10% each year. That could be just from the number of participants, right? It's not necessarily that it went up by that percentage.
No, I'm thinking the health insurance went up like 7 or 8%. The cost and the 10% would be people. I know we had two teachers come in. Add family plans when they were hired.
Right, so it's not really something linear that you can be like, wow, that's...
All you can do is budget for what we have now. So what we have now, and somebody adds or drops in May, we haven't really had people drop in the past couple of years.
Do you, Bill Saffy, do you shop around for health insurance?
I think they're part of a conglomerate, but I can ask.
Is that something the SAU does?
Well, it's like the town. We
shop around.
Snickered this year with the town.
Yeah, the thing is that we go in with other schools, though, because if we went in just as Henry
Moore.
Yeah,
Ryan Power.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we're still, I believe, on Sue Young's motion.
What is the motion again? Just
so the motion is to postpone voting on the school board until we have a chance to review the updated spreadsheet that they're going to provide, and until Lynn is back.
Hopefully by December 3rd, we should be able to do it.
So the assumption is we would be revisiting this after our meeting on December, after the public hearing?
Public hearing for the town.
The town on December 3rd.
Couldn't you also make sure that we get the clarification on what's the default?
Yes.
What default is made up?
There were a number of actions that came out of the meeting tonight. We will have to chase answers on all of them. I took, I think, four questions, that being one of them.
But just as a little, when you look at the default, you can see how much of it is salary and how much is operational as well. So I'll get those answers. I feel like there were more questions.
From our earlier conversation?
She was going to do the spreadsheet.
I have the sped transport, the encumbrances, the spreadsheet, actually the New Hampshire guidance on class size, but I think they answered that one.
Yeah.
But I will, when I type up the minutes, I'll make sure we capture all the questions.
So
but is there a second for Sue's motion?
I think there was.
I'll make a second on that.
Okay.
Josh Reed.
When we're finished discussing, I'll take the vote. But is there any other discussion on that motion before we vote? Okay, who's in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous.
More information is good.
Yep, okay. And we do not have the school warrant articles yet. Are there school
warrant
articles?
We have to wait for this one. And then they do have the one, because the pair is just renegotiated for next year.
So
that'll
be that one. Okay. All right. Any other...
I have a question for you. You had said that you really think it's our responsibility to tell them where to cut.
If we're cutting below
default.
Yeah.
Okay, got that. All right, I knew that.
Because at that point, you're cutting, in my reading, what they're contractually obligated to cover. So
we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
What's that?
So I mean, I think for the staff, I
think that's the basis of a default, but
yeah.
Look, what is the town? Contractual obligations on their behalf.
Yes, but it's very specific. If we don't, for instance, the state for teachers for the retirement, I believe the school is 10.3. For the town, for the police, it's 30.2.
But that goes in your
percent.
But we saw that.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. That's some of the differences.
So I gotta know what you're putting on.
No, we're serving 4,000 people versus.
But that's a default on my
talking stick.
Because the state is requiring me to do it.
All right, we're recognizing Ryan.
It's better than my level on deck circle. Ryan Young, question, if you know the answer to this. The pay increase for the principal, was that requested or was that requested by the principal or requested by the principal?
Requested by
the principal. Does that show up in the default or does that show up as a request?
That's a request. Was there a request made for an increase, not necessarily a percentage increase, or
for the principal, the school board?
By the principal.
Was her salary lower than?
Did you know she's principal of the year?
Yeah.
Yes.
And she just got back from this big hoopla in Washington.
Nice.
We're very lucky to
have
her, which is
why we... It's nothing personal.
No, it is.
Which is why we wanted to get her...
It's just a matter of us doing our job. We're representative of the town taxpayers and the voters and...
And the students.
I get it, but...
Yeah, they're citizens of the town, but...
The taxpayers
have to afford it, though.
I don't know.
Ryan Young, and just going back to the last meeting, we all agreed that nearly 9% wasn't feasible, wasn't maintainable, sustainable, I guess would be the word. And so, you know, we did all agree on that. I know it was an unconventional poll. We don't usually do things like that, I'm guessing. But so I think it's, you know, it's just a matter of walking it back. And, you know, we could probably ask the same question about 7.5%. And, you know, maybe sooner or later we'll get to a percentage that everybody says, okay, yeah, that is sustainable. But I think we hit the default budget before we get to that number.
Well, the question tonight from the SAU was to answer my question. About, you know, how they came up with that. It sounds like they did a market analysis.
I'd be curious to see that if it was schools the same size, like Deerfield has 500 students. You know, I would wonder, it would be interesting to see, because I know what some...
You said surrounding towns and towns of a similar
size.
Yeah,
like, so we can't use Deerfield or Raymond, but you can use... So, like, if we're in a bidding war with, like, Candia, Auburn, Hooksett, Chester, like, you are kind of...
Yeah, but we don't have the commercial. Hooksett is...
No, I mean, for like, so we have a posting of a job position.
Yes.
If somebody's looking in this area, we obviously have to be competitive with what. So that's what we did with substitutes. We had to bring the substitute rate up a couple of years ago because we were paying hardly anything. So, you know, with the adjustments and with what's been going on in the economy, and
I'm optimistic about that.
Well, me too.
Mm-hmm. I know some people aren't, but we won't get politically.
No,
yes.
Are there any other topics before we make a motion to adjourn?
No, I just want to make a comment. And it's not just the older people I'm worried about, Susan Young. It's these young families. You know, and I can remember my mom got to stay home. Nowadays, they can't, you know, one of the parents can't. I just worry about pricing out the younger families, and that won't fill up this school, so...
Correct.
Right.
Well, the answer is it's more family housing.
Yes, true. Definitely need more
affordable housing.
Family
housing. Table
housing
is very important.
But that's going to be
a
time.
Yeah, I agree.
Not going to solve that tonight.
It's a nice discussion. Good point, Madam Chair.
So, may I have a motion to adjourn?
As per usual, I will make a motion to adjourn.
State your name.
Katrina Niles. Motion to adjourn.
I'm glad
all in favor.
Say it. Just said
aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Oh, it was Katrina and Bill.
Well, I yeah.